Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Nerds Podcast. We are the best movie podcast on the internet. I am Ryan. I am joined by Brad.
Hey.
And I really want to thank everybody who saw us at Fan Expo Denver. It was a rousing success.
Yeah, it was. We made it. We got everything ready and available as planned. And I was most impressed by our panel. Like, I didn't expect that many people to be there.
Dude, I was telling everybody, it's so funny you say that because, well, you know, we had a plan for it, but we didn't have a plan. You know what I mean? We knew what we were going to talk about, but we didn't know how it was going to go. It was on the 4th of July at 6 p.m. In fact, I told my friend, I said, dude, no one's going to show up. They're going to go to barbecues. And I'll never forget, is the most surreal feeling. I don't know if you felt the same way. When we went to our panel room and there was people lining up to get in, and you even made the comment like that has to be for the other one. And I said, oh yeah, dude, there's no way the people are waiting to get into our panel. So we kind of fucked off for a couple minutes, and then we went into the panel, and you were setting up the AV stuff. I was just setting up being awesome, what I usually do. But I did turn on the TV. So if I didn't turn on the TV, we would have been fucked.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. So I'm glad you did.
So that's why I'm here, bro. So anyways, as we're setting up and I'm sitting in the front, there's like three or four people, and I go, okay, this seems more apropos and more in line with what we've been through before. And then the guy who is running the room comes in and he says, hey, can we let people in? And I said, yeah, I mean, whatever. You don't have to hold anybody. And
obviously, like, we're here. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like 50, 75 people they let in. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And not only that, but they were so great. Our audience was so good. They were engaged. They had fun. I had people come up to me the next day and said it was the best panel they've been to. And I'm not just saying that because I wouldn't believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, considering everything that was available that weekend, ours, the best one they went to, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. It's awesome. But I, you know, you never know. And I've been doing this stuff. Well, this is our 12th Denver or Fan Expo. And so I've done so many panels and I've talked in front of people. We've done live shows, but you know, when you connect with people, Brad, I don't know if you thought because you're busy running, you know, the slides and stuff. But when I was explaining, because in one of our slides, you were talking about the movie going experience and the last little bullet point you had on there was historic. So I went on to explain, you know, experiences I had in the theaters that could never be replicated at home. And I could see people light up. And it started this discussion of everybody telling us their story. And it was so fun because everybody had a different story, but it all affected them a way, you know what I mean? And I was just so impressed. And we will post that panel so people can hear what we're talking about. I even got yelled at from somebody because I made fun of Twilight, which was great. I love when people yell at me.
But yeah, your line of work, she yelled at a lot.
Yeah, I do. But this is a fun yelling at me. You know, they're telling me I'm stupid because I don't know what Twilight is, and I never will. But that was my experience in the panel, Brad. What was yours?
Yeah, I was just stressing about, like, are the slides going to work? like, because we prepared for the panel, but we didn't, like, fully prepare, you know, like, do a dress rehearsal or anything. So we didn't really discuss a ton of it between each other. So the slides I made were very, like, only things that I could think of. So I was, you know, kind of wondering, like, how that would play in places. And, just in my own little world, you know, I couldn't really pay attention to more than just, like, let's just make sure this thing runs okay. Like, I let you talk the most of pretty much the whole time. So, yeah, that's how influence I had on it. Yeah. I regret that I had some specific points I wanted to make, and just we never got to them, which kind of sucks, but whatever.
It does. But what's crazy is we actually ran over and no one came and told us to stop.
There was a point.
We just kept rolling. Yeah.
There was a point where I was like, I think we went through like four or five slides, but in the first 10 minutes, I was like, oh shit, here we go. Like, we don't have enough. And then all of a sudden we were like, running over time, and I made the comment of like, well, we're the last people in here. How, like, I think we can just stay how long we want, really. So,
yeah, it was just cool, man. And but I also had faith in us, and this is me tooting our own horn, that you and I have been friends for 25, 30 years. I don't know. And I knew that because we do the show every week, we could fill the time. I mean, I wasn't worried about that. I just was more worried about the people that did come in were engaged.
Yeah.
And I remember saying that stuff, and I could see people's faces light up. And I knew that I actually hit a nerve with people. And I've seen it in the other panels I've done.
The runtime is like, you know, they asked us to fill 45 minutes, and like going into it, I was like, well, that's kind of like our regular show with the two of us lately. And I think we can just, We shouldn't have a problem because we could just do that. Like, there's plenty of times where we talk about the movie and, you know, before we know it, you know, the episode's over. Trying to beat that Zoom runtime. But, also too, like, you know, we've in panels in the past, you know, I'm sitting there and I watch incrementally people just kind of up and leave. And that really didn't happen to this one either.
No, no one got up.
I think maybe one couple got up, but they probably just, you know, went home early or something.
Yeah, and that's fine. And the rest of the con went so well. Last week, I told you that my dream was to get Travis Himmel on, who's an artist from Denver area, and did Ninja Turtle covers. And dude, it came true. I don't know how I was able to pull it off, but I did.
You clearly paid him just to spite me. Yeah, just to get your way, make me look bad from last week.
Well.
How much, Ryan? You know, how much did you give him?
That's true.
What services did you offer?
Well, it's called an under-the-table hand job.
That makes sense, because he needs both his hands on top of the table to do commissions.
The real story is I was just walking through Artist Alley, and his art caught my eye because we're both fans of the Ninja Turtles, and he had it look like the Ninja Turtle cartoons, because that's what his covers were for, the Saturday morning cartoon versions of it. And he had all these little Easter eggs, and just started talking to him, and he was a nice guy. And I asked him to do a commission for me, and he said, yeah, sure, I can do that. And he asked me what I did, and I said, oh, I do a podcast, and we have it over there. And he said, oh, is it Pizza Hut? And I said, it sure is. And I said, if you're bored, man, you can come by and talk. You know, I know you need to actually make money here. And he said, no, I'll come. How about Sunday? So it worked out well. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it was a great interview. That should be up soon, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I try to avoid listening to them as you guys do them because obviously I'm going to hear them later, so I don't want to be surprised. So,
Yeah, it
yeah.
went well. He was very generous with his time. I was proud that people thought we actually had pizza. The people we talked to were really fun. I think we had a really successful con. I was proud of the work we did.
Yeah, I just definitely the fun part was seeing people walk by and think that it's an actual Pizza Hut and just be like, oh, I thought I could jump the line of the food court and get pizza here. Like, no, that's definitely like a health violation selling pizza over here. And they won't invite us back if we sold competing food. So
That's
thank
cool, man.
you.
Well, I was going to ask you, and I asked you at the con, but now we're being recorded because, you're a graphic designer by trade and everything looked great. You can see the pictures on our socials. But what were you more proud of? The when people bought our Pizza Hut boxes or when they actually wanted a real pizza? Because you did such a great job with the representation of what a Pizza Hut looked like in the 90s.
Probably when people bought the pizza, 'cause that's like a $20 expense. And there's plenty of places there for them to spend that money. So, it's cool that they in the moment, like are con like confused on whether it's real pizza and all. But I think the fact that they like invested their own money into our product,
True.
which, we only had 10 of, and historically we don't sell a ton of merch when we go there. And this year, I think we sold the most merch, like even like all we didn't have a ton of new stuff. Like it was just the pizza boxes and then we filled them with stuff, from around town. But yeah, they are glasses. Like we emptied a whole box of those.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I want to thank everybody who went to our panel, who spent their hard-earned money at the con, because there's literally thousands of places you could spend your money, and that you gave the little podcast that could your $20 and you sat down and talked to us. To me, I
Yeah.
agree. That means the world to me. So,
I'm a little bummed that like so a couple people wanted like just an empty box, and at one point I was like, well, I would give it to you, but we could possibly sell this. And eventually, we didn't sell all, like we sold the initial run, but the backup ones. I wish I'd just given that kid a pizza box who wanted it, but he left like 2 hours earlier than I thought he would, so yeah.
yeah, it happens, but
Yeah.
it went well.
I think at some point I'll print more. And yeah, if you're listening, just, email us. I'll hook you up.
Yeah, we got you. This week on Real Nerds, we saw Maxine, and we are going to recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then spoil it. We'll also talk about maybe the most depressing movie news of the week ever, and then we'll talk about films we watched that weren't the film of the week. Brad, we made it to the end of the Ty West trilogy, Maxine. Do you recommend Maxine?
Sort of. Like this is really disappointing to say because when the movie started, I was so into it. Like the first third of it, I was like, yes, this is hitting all my checking all my boxes. This is great. And then the second act hits and you're kind of like, kind of wandering here, a little meandering. And then the third one's just like, what? This is the way you're gonna go with this? Like, disappointing. Like, and the more I thought about it, the days after I saw it, I was just like, this is even more of a bummer the more I look back at it. I'd say that it starts out with a great, like with a bang, but yeah, it just kind of descends into, wow, that's all this amounted to. Great. How about you?
I enjoyed it a lot, but of all of the three films, it's definitely my least favorite. But having said all that, I love the aesthetic. I still love how Ty West shoots films, and Mia Goth is still great. If I had one or two little things to pick with it, is it also seems that Maxine as a character wasn't as strong in this one, and I wasn't a fan of that.
Yeah.
I wanted her to be tougher. But I still had fun. It's still a fun film. And here's the trailer for Maxine.
A24 presents The follow-up to a film that possessed a nation. The Puritan 2.
Cut!
The blood's wrong.
Molly Bennett, meet Maxine Minx.
Pleased to meet you.
Sorry. We've all got blood on our hands now.
The past ain't finished with you, Maxine. Ain't nowhere to hide this show business. You never work in this town again.
Maxine, what are you hiding?
I've seen the devil stalking me. I can feel his power.
We've made it to the belly of the beast. You must eliminate all distractions, or the beast will spit you right back out.
Time to pay for your sins.
It's America's new scream queen.
Maxine fucking Minx.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
So Maxine takes place, I don't know, that a few years after
X.
X. I'm not sure exactly the time frame. Do you remember when you, what year X took place in?
It's just the 70s, I guess, late 70s.
So maybe 5-6 years later.
Maybe, yeah.
Maxine is now like a huge star in porn, and she wants to cross over and be in Hollywood films. So she does this great audition for a movie called The Puritan 2, which The Puritan was like a cult hit on the video market scene, and she ends up getting the lead in it. When she gets the lead, her past comes back and she has to reconcile with that, because there's also a serial killer that's targeting her friends, and we have to unravel the mystery of who's killing her friends and who knows about Maxine's past at the ranch or the farmhouse in Texas with Pearl and her husband. Yeah, and that's pretty much the story of Maxine.
Yeah, I didn't want to get to it before, because now we're in spoiler territory. But yeah, the aesthetic is amazing. Like,
yes,
right out of the gate with the audition, everything, and her driving, speeding around L.A. in the 80s, just, and all the editing and the music. Fantastic. Like, I was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to love this movie. And then there's like that one creepy stalker dude who she steps on his nuts, crushes
yeah.
nuts. Like, I was like, we're going to have some awesome kills in this movie. And yeah. then,
I will say it's the first movie I've ever seen testicles dumped on and they explode. So
yeah. Yeah. So I thought there was going to be more like after that, you know, there's going to be like more of like, let's figure out the Night Stalker. Like, he's killing her friends. And no, the middle is like, she's just kind of dealing with Kevin Bacon extorting her. And so she's going to like luncheons and running around the back lot in this like chase scene so they can just have the psycho house in there. And it's just like, all right, let's move this along. And then, yeah, by the end, you find out that the Night Stalker is her dad, has been like, which he was at like her nudie photo booth or whatever at one point.
Yeah.
If that was, yeah, if he's the Night Stalker, like he was there and he didn't like bother to confront her. So it's like, why did he have Ken Bacon like stalk her if like he could just approach her at any time? Like,
well, because he wanted her. Is part of the thing, because remember, her dad is a preacher that's on the TV at the end of X.
Which, if you haven't seen X, I forgot that was a thing. So
yeah.
The reveal at the end is like, who's this guy?
So yeah, so he wanted, remember, he wanted to do another show where she was in the porn industry and now she's in a horror film, and he wanted her to repent and, you know, that what he's teaching is real. So that's why he didn't approach her at the beginning. And yeah, it's,
and then she's got like the two detectives, Michelle Monaghan and Bobby Cannavale. Like, Cannavale's like a failed actor turned detective, and then a lot of their scenes are just like, come on, Maxine, help us out here. And she's like, no, I ain't doing yeah. that until,
and, you know,
even after her friend gets killed, she's just like, nope, I'm gonna keep my secrets for so much of the movie.
Yeah, and that's maybe my biggest like disappointment in it. I mean, I still had fun with it and it was a good time. But at the beginning, you know, you brought up her holding that dude at gunpoint and she made him suck the barrel of her gun like it was a cock and then smashes his ball sack. But then the rest of the film, she's like afraid of Kevin Bacon. Even after she like fucked him up in his car, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And it just felt like it was a different, like her character decided to be afraid and it seemed really out of character for her. You know what I mean?
And all that chasing around time, it could have been time spent like challenging her as a character.
Yeah.
And it just felt like she was just constantly on the run when she should have been standing up for herself.
And also, I was thinking this during the chasing through the back lot. Okay, she's a star of a film there. And they're just going to let some dude like chase her? Like, what the fuck? Like, everyone's like, eh, whatever.
I guess Hollywood back lots were light on security and very empty back in 1985.
Yeah, I guess. It just seemed odd to me that she's literally a star of a movie and some like creepo dude is chasing her around.
Yeah.
By the way, Kevin Bacon is great in this movie.
Yeah. Those back lots are busy. There's no way there's that much time of just like just the two of them alone.
I know.
Yeah.
Or someone doesn't notice this dude chasing a woman through the back lot.
I mean, she could scream, get someone's attention. Yeah. It just didn't. It's just a huge waste of time for me. It goes nowhere.
But the kills are gnarly. Even the her friend in the video store, that was a gnarly kill and it was awesome.
Yeah, and Kevin Bacon getting like crushed in the auto yard. But I thought there should have been more. I think like that there's like what, three or four total.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are just kind of off screen, like her friends just kind of show up as submerged bodies
in
the cemetery. And there should have been more stuff like the ball crushing. And, you know, you have the Night Stalker, and a lot of the Night Stalker's kills are, other than her, you know, video store friend, are just kind of off screen.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And then the end, like the detectives are chasing her dad, and like one by one, like, I don't know. He must be like so, like, they're either super incompetent or he's just like a ninja.
Well, like, I can tell you from what I know about being a police officer, which isn't much, but I will say that I would, if some dude with a gun ran up a hill in the dark, I wouldn't go gung-ho chasing him.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's what would happen. You would get shot and you would die and then. Yeah, so I would formulate a better plan. But, you know, it was the 80s. Maybe they're more crazy back then. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they still would have called in for backup. Like,
And then I felt bad for Michelle Monaghan's character. She's like, I got him. And then she just rolls down the hill. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I think she got stabbed in the eye or something. And yeah, just rolls down the hill. And that's it. Yeah. It's like, and then, Bobby Cannavale just like does a, like, sort of like a final acting monologue that was like kind of corny. I was like, what is this movie now?
Yeah,
it's like so slapsticky. And then she has like this exchange with her dad that wasn't, I don't know, to me that interesting.
No, I mean, his head exploding was cool, but like, you know,
the Pearl monologue at the end, it was way better ending than this.
Oh yeah, agreed.
If you're gonna have like a monologue, yeah,
agreed. So, I still had fun with it, but I wanted her to be tougher, and I wanted her to fuck people up throughout the whole film, I guess is what I wanted.
Yeah, or just, like, play more with, like, her trying to get into the industry, you know? Like, she gets the audition, and then she's pretty much in at that point. She struggles a little bit to maintain, like, the good graces of the director, but just, like, she's a porn star, like, trying to make a, you know, a move to, like, a, I don't want to say legitimate career, but just like a more mainstream career, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. She kind of gets everything she wants early in the movie. So it's,
Yeah. I want to see her fucking fuck people up for fucking with her. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Or get it and lose it all. I don't know.
Yeah.
This wasn't, shockingly, one of the movies of just like so gung-ho at the beginning. And then by the end, I was just like, the more I thought about it, I was like, that kind of fucking sucked. Like, what a shitty ending to this trilogy. Like, just didn't offer up anything interesting in that second half for me.
Damn. Yeah. I had fun, but yeah, I was a little let down. I was like, oh man. Like I said, I just wanted her to be the character she was at the beginning. You know, she's getting night stalked by the Night Stalker, and then just, I want her to fuck shit up. Because that was the Maxine that I was led to believe in X in this film.
Yeah, if she wasn't so defiant about, like, not joining the detectives, she could have, like, helped out the investigation in the first act and then been taken to places where she could, like, actually proactively do things instead of just running away from everything.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. Solve the mystery instead of just, like, wandering into the mystery.
Yep. Hey! We have some really depressing movie news this week.
Yep.
It's real news!
Last week you mentioned that Roger Corman passed away, but he was, you know, in his 90s, so that's a great career. Today the news broke that Shannon Doherty passed away after years battling breast cancer. I was never a big 90210 fan, but I know it was really big. And same with Charmed. I mean, I really liked her from Mallrats.
Yeah, that's pretty much my only connection to her is through Mallrats.
And she's great in that movie. And
she cameoed in, like, I don't know, like Reboot or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she did show up again, but, you know, I guess I was never the Fox teen soap opera.
Definitely not.
Watcher.
Yeah.
But I do know that that show was very...
it was huge.
Yeah, very groundbreaking. And then Charmed, I never watched Charmed. I was a Buffy person, so I never watched Charmed. But I do know that show, too, was very groundbreaking. And she directed some episodes for that. So, obviously passed away too soon. Then also, Richard Simmons passed away, who is a fitness guru, but he also appeared in movies, and he was another person that I think had an illness as well, and he passed away. And
sweating to the oldies commercials just constantly on rotation as a kid.
Oh yeah, especially because I watched Nick at Night all the time.
Yep.
It was always on at Nick at Night.
And when I go to like thrift stores and look for VHSs, there's always one.
Yes. It definitely, you know, was a part of our childhood, even though we, I mean, obviously I never watched him or anything, but you just knew who he was because that's what it was. You know what I mean? Like, you just knew.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then who am I forgetting? There is one more person I'm forgetting.
That's sad.
Oh, Shelley Duvall passed away.
There you go.
At 75. And, of course, she's most famous for being in The Shining. And she kind of went away from Hollywood for a long time because she felt like she was mistreated in Hollywood. And
she worked with Kubrick. She probably was.
Yeah. The guy who makes you do 200 takes of stuff. You know, I always thought that too about David Fincher. I'd be like, dude, fuck you. I'm not doing another fucking take.
Yeah, she's a. I also remember as a olive oil, like it's just like the perfect casting for that Popeye movie with Robin Williams. But yeah, she had other like Robert Altman movies and stuff. A lot of like 70s, 80s heyday. But yeah, I was always like, man, like, why was she not around for like recent films and stuff? And so it's pretty tragic.
Yeah. You know, her most well known film besides The Shining is Annie Hall. You know, because just it was such a popular film in 1978 or 77, 78, 77. I don't remember the actual year. I've actually never seen it, But yeah, it's another people that just passed away. In fact, I just decided to open up her IMDb page, and she did a film in 2002 called Manna from Heaven, and then she didn't do another film till 2023. So she did kind of take a break, from it.
At least she got to do something recently, so that's cool.
Yeah, and a lot of famous people passed away the last couple of days.
Yeah,
which is a bummer.
It always seems like when there's like a celebrity death, there's a triumvirate that happens. There's like one, and then like two others hit, and then it's like a lull for a little while. So, yeah.
Hopefully we hit a lull. I don't like people dying. It's not cool. I know it's inevitable, but at the same time, it still sucks. We watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Not a lot. Obviously, it was the 4th of July, and I was listening to one of my other podcasts I listened to, and they were talking about Independence Day. So I was like, you know what? I don't think I've watched Independence Day in like 20 years. So maybe not that long, maybe 15. But yeah, I popped it in, or I actually streamed it. Cause I only have like a Blu-ray, like a discount Blu-ray of it. I know you're not a fan of it, but, on the podcast, they were talking about all these points of it. And I was like, I was kind of remembering it. I just remember being like in 1996, I think the end of junior high with my friends and just kind of getting into movies and going out to movies and stuff. And that was one of them. Mm-hmm. Just like, that and like Men in Black the next year of just like, that's the movie of the year for us that we're going to see.
Yeah.
Not realizing like Brent Spiner from Star Trek, like not putting two and two together that he's Data in that movie. It's like, it's just a different actor.
Mm-hmm.
That movie's still fun. Obviously, disaster movies have been very prolific since then. So it's a little dated, but like compared to like, there's something about the cast itself. Like it's the movie where like the least where I cringe at all the dialogue and stuff compared to like Resurgence or like, any other Day After Tomorrow or something, or San Andreas or something. It's like, I think all the characters are better fleshed out in like, more, I think, than any Roland Emmerich movie. So, it was fun. And then I tried to watch the movie Thelma, which is in the trailer. It looks like an action movie starring a very elderly woman, which I thought, like, some friends of mine are trying to make that movie. And I was like, oh, my God, they did it based on the trailer. But I've been super tired, obviously, so I tried to watch it, fell asleep through a good chunk of the middle, but the beginning and other parts is very small. Like it's a lot of it is dialogue or takes place in the nursing home. She ventures out on her scooter at one point. Louis Gossett Jr., who also recently passes in the movie, is like on this journey with her, and her, I think, grandson is, like drives her around, and eventually he gets separated from her. So he's with his mom and dad, and they're trying to find out where she went. And she's trying to like solve, I'm not sure what, I missed it. I think it's like some kind of internet scam. So if you think back to like the beekeeper earlier, instead of her just offering herself in the beginning of the movie, she does something about it. It's a comedy. It's supposed to be like really funny of like, this old woman on a scooter trying to like do chases. And eventually she runs into Malcolm McDowell, who's, I guess, the scam artist or is related to him. I missed a huge swath of the movie. but I'm going to check it out again at some point. And then, that's all I watched this week.
I watched a little film called Everything Everywhere All at Once. Again, through my random movie generator, and I watched this with my kid, and Kellen loved it. He said, "Dad, this movie's so crazy. Why do they have hot dog fingers and the rocks that talk to each other. I said, I know, buddy, that's part of the film. It's, you know, it's everything happening at once, but at the end of the day, it's about the relationship between a mother and a daughter. And he loved Waymond in it, you know, and I go, oh man, this movie plays for my son. And I thought that was really cool. You know, it's one of, it's such a cool movie and it's so fun to revisit. Okay. And, so it's just cool to see again. And the Blu-ray is cool as well. I saw Despicable Me 4 today and it's, oh man, the plot is not good. It's basically Gru has to go into witness protection and he tries to be friends with his neighbor who's voiced by Stephen Colbert, which is kind of cool.
But Ace and Gary are back.
Yes. For those really old Saturday Night Live skits. They intersperse just the minions doing something silly. And at one point, they do experiments on these four minions or five minions that get superpowers. That doesn't even come into play till the end. And they don't even really do anything. It's just the animation looks great. And that's about all I can say about it. I didn't laugh once. And just sitting there going, okay, well, I mean, it looks nice. And there's like some nice moments with the family.
Did Kellen like it?
He did. He told me he couldn't pick between that or Inside Out 2 of his favorite animated movies of the year.
Oh, I'm like, okay. That's okay. Ouch.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, oh man. Well, hopefully when he gets older and he understands the layers and subtleties of writing that he'll understand.
Once he can write out. Once he's older and he can relate to the inner workings of a teenage girl, then yeah.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, is whatever. It's fun to take my kid to movies. And the last thing I saw this week, and you can listen to an interview with the director. I watched a movie called Breakup Season, which stars Chandler Riggs from The Walking Dead as a guy named Ben who takes his girlfriend home for the holidays and she breaks up with him on the first day and they're stuck together. And it was a really pleasant surprise. I actually really enjoyed the film. And you can hear me gush about it and really get into the meat of it with the director, H. Nelson Tracy, that you can find on our website. And it's going around the circuit. So if it's in your neck of the woods, I recommend seeing Breakup Season.
Yeah. He mentioned there's going to be like a holiday time rollout. So if you can't get to a film festival, you'll hopefully have a national something going on at the end of the year.
And that actually felt bad because you were in that interview with us and I just kept going. And then at the end, I was like, oh shit, I forgot to see if Brad wanted to ask any questions.
Yeah, it's all right. My biggest thing was like, you know, there's like a plot thing with the beginning of the movie. I was like, huh, I feel like, should have just, I don't know, as a 42-year-old, I can recognize that we can just kind of speed this up. But yeah, Chandler Riggs' character is a little immature. And so he definitely fumbles his way through it.
You saw it at a sold out showing at the Esquire, right?
I did. He sold that place out. Had media there, like Nine News was there. It was crazy. Yeah. And like they had a Q&A afterwards. So I also already had a bunch of questions answered in my head. So it felt disingenuous to ask them again, already knowing the answers. So it's not a big deal.
Cool. So yeah, look for that interview on our website. If you're listening to this show and like, what is he talking about? You'll find it. Next week, we are seeing Long Legs, which is getting really good reviews. Another horror film. It's been like three horror films in a row. So yeah, that's fun. And until next week, we'll see you at the movies.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it.